Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. First of all, thanks for coming, and it is good to be back. To remind all of us, there are two subjects that we are covering in our classes this semester. The first is the Catholic priesthood, and the second is comparative religion. On the subject of the priesthood, I thought I would distribute copies of the preface of the book that is to be published this spring by your unworthy teacher. It is called Prophet of the Priesthood. It is the spirituality of a Father Gerald Fitzgerald, who founded two communities, one of men called the Service of the Paraclete, and one of women called Handmaids of the Precious Blood. The purpose for the community's founding just 50 years ago this year, the purpose was to help priests who are in trouble. And if they were in trouble 50 years ago, no words can describe the crisis, as we've said more than once, the most serious crisis in the history of the Catholic Church. And it is basically a crisis of faith. And by the way, if every once in a while I start coughing, I'm having the coat on. I'm taking antibiotics or a virus that I've somewhere, well, got. The preface, you have a copy of it, do you? It was very kindly written by Archbishop Schleck, who is a secretary for the Congregation for Evangelization in Rome. The book is to be published, my hope is, before the end of the spring. But I think, although I know I'm being taped, I should say it. The Paracletes, as they're called, are in trouble. And one reason they are in trouble is because some of their members decided, instead of concentrating on prayer, sacrifice, to help priests in trouble, they resorted to psychological and psychopathological means. Pray for the Service of the Paraclete. The Handmaids, on the other hand, the women, are in very good condition. They do, however, need more vocations. The Handmaids are a contemplative community. Their mother house is in Jemez Springs, New Mexico. They have a monastery outside of Chicago, a place called Lake Villa, and thanks to the Holy See, they now have a monastery in Rome. It is 25 years I've been working with the handmaids of the Precious Blood, currently working with them in producing a dictionary of the contemplative life. In any case, their founder, Father Gerald Fitzgerald, is the one, as I told you, I think, last time, whose spirituality I am publishing as a book, and for which the Holy See very kindly wrote a preface. Most of my publication for the last 25 years, has been done under orders of the Vatican. I have a vow of obedience, special vow of obedience to the Holy Father, and I've been trying to be faithful to that vow. This book will be available, printed, I think, by the end of the spring. Our concentration for class today will be on one chapter of that book, namely, The Virtues of a Priest. The ideas here outlined are those of the founder, Father Gerald Fitzgerald. In memory and context, the apostolate which he organized was to help priests in trouble. And, as we know, over the centuries, the enemy of Christ has concentrated on priests. If he can mislead, seduce priests, he has the church under control. Our focus in today's class will be on the virtues of a priest, both the virtues that he needs as a priest and the virtues that he needs to be an apostle. First, by way of introduction, priests must be holy in virtue of their office. And the verb noticed is the imperative, must be holy. Every breakdown in the Catholic Church over the centuries, every revolution that has destroyed the Catholic faith in whole countries, without exceptions, over the centuries has been due to unholy priests. Still the introduction. Holy priests sanctify others. As we've said more than once, there is such a thing as a law of spiritual reproductivity, which I will focus on in number 3 of our introduction. whatever faith we have, whatever virtues we have, come forth from God. But the channel of that faith and those virtues is always, and that adverb is our faith, is always the faith and virtues of others. Good people, well, are used by God to make other people good. Bad people are permitted by God to, well, what else? Make bad people. Hear it. We are what others have made us. And others are what we have made them. The principle, as I've indicated, is the principle of spiritual reproduction. I wouldn't be a priest here today. I still cannot believe it. At the age of 22, just finished college, as I've said more than once, dating a wonderful girl. She had the wedding date set. But, well, God hit me over the head. I found out you can reproduce yourself in two different ways, physically and spiritually. I wanted to be a father. When I was dating, I knew she wanted to be a mother. Well, I still can't believe it. I found out you can reproduce yourself spiritually and soul. I won't go into another long autobiographical story. And hear it. You parents, either you reproduce yourselves in spirit or you are not parents. In the divine vocabulary, children are to be conceived and born into this world only as a means of being born into the world to come. As Christ said, remember, regarding Judas, but if he had not been born, you parents are parents, hear it. To bring children to heaven. Period. Close the book. Finally, stood on the introduction. The historic need today for virtues in a priest, because of widespread secularization. Big, long word, secularization. We've said this more than once. From the Latin word saeculum, which means world, this world. Secularization is that condition of a people for whom this world is the only world either that exists or the only world which is worth living in. and hear it. We grow in our faith only of the measure that we realize, and I mean realize, that we're not made, dear God, we're not made for this world. I've said this how often, to how many audiences. My favorite definition of insanity is, insanity is the condition of a person who wants to stay in this world. And having been chaplain, because I admired myself while teaching at the State University, chaplain, the only Catholic chaplain they ever had. Over 3,000 mental patients in a state hospital. I know insanity. How would you answer this question? Are there people who are held doctorates in some field of education or professors in universities? Are some of those people insane? You better believe it. Know the virtues on which Mother Gerald Fitzgerald concentrates. First, faith in the Holy Eucharist. There is nothing, and I use that negative universal deliberately, there is nothing that a priest more needs, more deeply needs, than a deep faith in the Holy Eucharist. That's what happened in the 16th century, when on the first Halloween, October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther abandoned his faith in the Holy Eucharist because he had given up his faith in his own priesthood. Now the logic behind the need for faith in the Holy Eucharist as being the first virtue that a priest needs. Faith is the foundation of Christianity. Faith, remember, is the mind, the intellect, assenting to God's revealed truth. Not because the mind comprehends what God reveals, but because God, who is all true, has revealed it. As I've said so often, I don't like Aristotle's definition of man as a rational animal. I know too many human beings who are not all that rational. My favorite definition of man is a believing animal. We believe that the man and woman we call our father and mother, well, they are our parents. How do we know that our mothers and fathers are our mothers and fathers. How? By faith. Right? Well, we were there when we were born, all right. And so on through life. That is why I've said more than once, our own country spends, latest figure, $170 billion annually in advertising. Again, I keep repeating myself. My favorite definition of advertising, remember? Advertising makes people buy what they don't need with money they don't have. Talk about childlike faith. The moral virtues all depend on faith. We can be only as humble, only as charitable, only as chaste, only as obedient as our faith is strong. But among the truths of faith that a priest is to believe is his faith in the Eucharist as presence, Mass, and communion. And what we see going on, and not just in our country, in our city, the widespread loss of faith in the real presence I'm sure I've said this before. Told by Pope John Paul II twice. Ordered by him. Do whatever you can to restore faith in the real presence in your country. Otherwise, I'm quoting the present Vicar of Christ, I fear for the survival of the Catholic Church in America. Unquote. Pope John Paul II. Because without the Holy Eucharist, there is zero, no Catholic Church. And just to use the word Eucharist, as I know, means nothing. It all depends on what the person understands by Eucharist, by the real presence. And of course, there can be no Mass without the real presence. No wonder the word Mass is so seldom used now in, well, still allegedly, Catholic literature and communion. I just saw a picture yesterday of President Clinton receiving Holy Communion, remember, in Africa. That is worse than a blasphemy.
And we said it wasn't the first time either, Father.
Unless a priest deeply, and I mean deeply, believes in the real presence and that he's offering Mass in that. As a woman just told me yesterday, she's going to communion. Open the mouth, but out the tongue. And the priest told her, I give communion in the hand. She kept her mouth open. I said, I give communion only in the hand. Still, I'm just summarizing what's in this particular chapter. The importance of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament and meditation on the Blessed Sacrament. One of the closest friends I've had among bishops was Bishop Hastich of Gallup, New Mexico. He didn't write much, but he wrote one article for a magazine. And there was a picture on the cover of the magazine for which he wrote. Locked church doors with chains, holding the doors closed. And the title of his article was The Greatest Tragedy in America, Closed Churches. So, a priest, to be a holy priest, to be a worthwhile priest, must have deep faith in the Holy Eucharist. I've told over 500 of my own, 600 of my own Jesuit priests. Wish I could say they all persevered in their faith. I've struggled with priests on their faith in the Eucharist. The deepest need, and not just priests, but bishops need, is faith in the Holy Eucharist. Second virtue, humility of mind and heart. By definition, a priest is elevated by God through ordination to a position that is above that of all the angels. And how well I know, either a priest is humble or he is a great danger to the Catholic Church. We are told God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. If a priest wants to receive the grace he needs, and he needs a lot of grace, because the devil specializes, I know what I'm talking about, he specializes in seducing priests. I hope I won't be misunderstood in saying the next sentence. And the devil, oh, has many techniques. But among his techniques is women. I'm going to preach for too many years. Women with one ambition, to seduce a priest. In other words, unless a priest is humble, he is a ready victim for seduction. Then, Father Joel, about whom we are speaking, I'm sharing with you the contents of the thoughts of a man who is deeply influenced my own priestly life. I never met him on earth. I've written two books about him. One to be published this year, and the other, well, I hope, soon after. God humiliated himself by becoming man. God could not have become less. He bypassed, as St. Paul tells us, even the angels to become man. To be conceived in a woman's womb, to carry for 9 months by his mother, to be born in Bethlehem as an infant, remember? Infans in Latin means speechless one. Fans in Latin means speaking. Infans, not speaking. The Almighty Word of God, by whom the world came into existence, became a speechless babe. The danger of pride for a priest . It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of humility in a priest. I know too many priests. I have and I am counseling many priests. Now they need humility. And the royal road to humility, hear it, and don't you dare forget, there is no humility without humiliations. Never run away from humiliations. We need them. You need them, I need them. That's why God puts other people into our lives. Can a husband humiliate his wife? Can a wife humiliate her husband? This is part of the necessary love in marriage. Humiliation. How important are humiliations? I repeat, there is no virtue of humility without being humiliated. And the more deeply steeped in pride a person is, the more God will make sure that person will be deeply humiliated. We need people in our lives who make fools of us Do you hear me? Years and now 310 days in the priesthood, I've learned a lot. One thing I've learned, and my beloved Jesuit brethren, oh, how kind they are, how generous in providing me with humiliations. Oh, how they must love me. Says Father Gerald, we are to grow, and this is referring to priests, but of course applies to all of us. We grow in humility by reflecting on the humility of God. And that's a whole subject by itself, the humility of God. God becoming man and not satisfied with the humiliation of becoming a helpless child. Then this same God now become man, institutes the Holy Eucharist, and what are you talking about? This is Jesus Christ. Well, looks like a piece of bread and tastes like a drop of wine. Our faith tells us he is a living God who became man. How we, and I would say this with emphasis, we Americans need more humility. And I'm no prophet, but I predict the humiliation for our country is coming. We need it. And finally, in the chapter on the virtues needed by a priest, Father Gerald singles out Our Lady as a model of humility for the priest as for all of us. Read, better memorize, a Magnificat. Our Lady's hymn, we believe she sang the Magnificat. Magnificat anima mea Dominum. The English word magnify. What does it mean? That's what I've been telling. First of all, I think I've shared this with you. I'd recommend to all of you to learn at least some Latin to understand our faith. My soul, Mary said, magnifies the Lord. Magnifies. My soul praises the Lord. My soul admires the Lord. My soul adores the Lord. The natural inclination of every human being. And then the Magnificat would say, my soul magnifies whom? me. Our spontaneous, natural tendency is to, well, praise, honor, admire, and, how I say it, adore whom? Ourselves. You may be surprised, but the non-English world, which is the majority of the human race, they say a lot about the only language in the world which capitalizes the first person pronoun, I. Dare I say it, we are a self-adoring people. Mary was the most gifted human person that God ever created. Christ was human, but not a human person. He was a divine person. Mary was the greatest human person ever created by God. More gifted intellectually, more gifted spiritually than anyone else, any other person, either before or since or to come. How well I know the secret of humility is not being gifted. And the more gifted we are, and this is where the priests are told, phenomenally gifted by God's grace, the more humble they have to be. Remembers in the parable, remember of the talents. Three, remember, persons received three different amounts of money. The master went off on a journey, came back. I'm sure I've asked this before. Which of the three was punished by the master? The one who used the talents and gained more money, or the one who buried? I hope you hear this again, at least once in this life. Our deepest responsibility is to know how gifted we are and put those gifts to use. We shall be judged, hear it, we shall be judged on how we have used the talents that God gave us. And tell us not only, or even mainly, say, in money or in intelligence, money in virtue, in position. Strange subtitle, Christ-like charm. In Calcutta, there, if it is God's will, I'll spend the month of October this year. I'm guessing, but I would say there must be a charm shop every 100 yards. all over Calcutta. You buy these charms, and of course, there's Hindus or Buddhists. For them, these charms are the source, well, of blessings they expect to receive from the god or goddess whose amulet, well, they use or wear, or do I say worship. However, a priest is supposed to be, our English language, charming. I think I told you, the worst language in the world, I know other languages, the worst in the world for teaching the Catholic faith is English. God is ingenious in providing humiliations.